Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
A couple of weeks ago, we began this series looking at resurrection. You know, sometimes we look at resurrection only on Easter Sunday. And we'll kind of take our time and we'll kind of build up to it and we'll look at some of the last words of Christ and we'll do our due diligence. But we don't talk about resurrection until it happens on Easter Sunday. So we decided this year with a shortened kind of Lenten series that we had, we wanted to talk about resurrection over the course of several weeks. And so that's what we've done. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how the resurrection of Christ really is the defining moment. It's the moment in history that we can look at and say that proves it once and for all that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Because there is only one empty grave in this world. There are lots of different religions. There is one empty grave. Because of that, we know that Jesus was who He says that He was. He was God's Son. He is holy. And His holiness, His deity, it anchors our message of hope. That was what we looked at week one. Last week, we looked at how resurrection demonstrates God's authority over death itself. And death no longer has the last word. Several of you, many of you, in fact, have experienced death. Some of you very recently, and it is painful, and it gets you. You know, it is difficult at times to get over. Here's what I know: those who follow Jesus Christ, death does not make the last word in their life. Instead, it is through resurrection that Jesus shows all of us how to live, and that's what we celebrated last weekend. Today, I want us to consider the power that resurrection has over sin in our lives. Because what I am convinced of more than anything in this world today is that this country and that our world does not need a new president to solve all of our issues. Amen? There is not one candidate left. There probably wasn't one candidate ever in the race that I felt like could probably solve all of my issues anyways. What we need is not a new president. What we need is a savior. What we need is a faith in a God who can take care of my problems and take care of my worries, who loves me more than I could ever understand. So the trouble of our day is that we think that the world is falling apart and crumbling. But if you look at history, it's been crumbling for a long time. And those of you who have been around long enough know that every generation will have its defining elements, and it will have its problems, it will have its wars, it will have its rumors of wars. What we need is not a president to solve our problems. What we need is a Savior. And we find that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because today is not just about bunnies and chocolate, though let me tell you, I love my chocolate. And the darker, the better, right? But it's not about bunnies, it's not about chocolate, it's not even just about empty tombs. Today is a day about the power and authority that that empty tomb can bring in your life. It will shape you. It will form you. Today, I encourage you to pull out your bulletin. Inside your bulletin today is an insert. I believe it's blue. You can follow along. Take some notes. I challenge this church every Sunday I bring God's Word to listen for a stronger voice in your life than mine. You can hear me today because everything's running great with the soundboard. But the reality is the greater voice you should be listening to is the voice of God through His Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when He speaks, I just encourage you to write His words down. Listen for His voice as we share these words together. I want to start our time together by looking at the concept of sin, because I believe it is our approach to that and our understanding of that is critical into understanding the power that resurrection has over it. So sin, and this is written by Paul, one of the greatest missionaries, the greatest apostle in my mind in many ways, because he took the gospel message to so many corners of the world. Paul wrote this to his young disciple Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Now, if Paul, who is one of the greatest followers of Christ who has ever lived, would say these words, then I don't know where my name is on the list, all right? But I've got to be well below Paul. He was a great man, a man who honored God, but he recognized that before Jesus Christ, he lived a life that was apart from God's will, even though he didn't even recognize it at the time. Sin is something that we all have in common. We are all born into this understanding. But what I want us to understand is something deeper. There is an understanding of sin that can help you, I think, as you approach your life. I'm going to put it in Terry's terms, all right? This is not something I read out of a theological book or nothing I'm quoting here. These are just my words of how I understand sin. The reality is, sin is anything that you do or don't do. And I think sometimes we miss that. Things that we do or we don't do, right, that goes against what has been revealed to you as truth according to God's Word and His Holy Spirit. God's Word and His Holy Spirit, the reality, those two things will never contradict each other. They will always work in harmony with one another. The Holy Spirit will always confirm God's Word. God's Word will always confirm the Holy Spirit. If you feel like the Spirit is saying something to you that is outside of God's Word, then it is not the Holy Spirit. Okay? So those two things come together and they reveal truth to you as you pursue the Word of God and as you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as God is revealing truth to you, you have a decision to lean against it or to lean away from it. We either lean into it and say yes to it, I trust it, or we go away from it. And so sin, quite simply put, for you, is when you listen to the truth that has been revealed to you and you say no. You say no. And that's what makes it difficult in this world. Because for some of you, this is sin, but for others, that's not. For others, something else is sin, but for others, it's not. Because the reality is, sin is defined by how God is revealing Himself to you. So you know what I want to take is the ostrich approach, right? If that's the approach, then just bury your head in the sand and don't ask any questions, right? But here's the reality. The image I got in my mind this week as I thought about it is if we are people who will gaze into the righteousness of God and see God's beauty for that, His love, and then turn away and not demonstrate that and not show that love to others, that is sin. So being an ostrich is sin as well. We have got a role to play as human beings to put ourselves in a place of hearing from God, both through His Word and His Holy Spirit. And if we're doing anything against that, then we are walking in sin. Sin is literally a real thing, and some of us don't want to believe that. Sin is destructive. Sin tears apart. But what I also know to be true is that resurrection has a lot to say about sin. Resurrection of Jesus Christ has a lot to say about sin. Now, some of you are here today because it's Easter and it's what we do. We go to Kohl's or JCPenney's, maybe Macy's. You know, we pick out a new shirt and tie combination. We get some new pants. You know, we put on... So who's wearing something new today? Some of us? Nobody? All right? No one's willing to admit it. All right? So we put on something new, we come to church, that's what we do. Some of you are here today because you wanted to show support of a friend or a family member. Some of us are here today and you're just not convinced that Christianity is real, but it's the path to getting lunch. So you're here. I'm with it. I respect it. I eat too. All right? Here's what I want you to know. Resurrection is real. And this faith that we're proclaiming today is real. And some of you have experienced someone in your life who has called themselves a Christian, but has not acted or behaved in any way different than anyone else in your life. And you go, if that's what Christianity looks like, then I must be okay. I'm okay. I'm not going to get all religious and freaky on everybody, right? Can I tell you something? I think that calling yourself a Christian is about as silly as calling yourself a duck and thinking that you can suddenly float and fly. I can do neither. I could call myself a duck if I wanted to. I still will sink straight to the bottom, and there's no way this body's getting off the air unless it's got jets behind it, right? So calling yourself, labeling yourself means absolutely nothing. The true defining part of being a follower of Christ is seen in your life and in the transformation that these young people and Carrie said that they want to experience. The transformation that will change them and make them into something that reflects the greater glory of who God is. That's reality. So some of you have seen poor examples of what being a Christian is like, but I want you to dismiss those just for a moment because the resurrection really did take place. The resurrection is real. And sincere belief in the life of Christ and in the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ will shape every human being to reflect the character and love of Christ. When we truly come into a place where resurrection is real to us, it will shape every fiber of your being. It will have a part in forming every word that comes out of your mouth because it will define you to be more and more like the character of Christ and the love of Christ. The resurrection is real, and as I investigate it, I want to give you some reasons why I really have come to that conclusion. First of all, you might consider Jesus to be a real person. Most people cannot deny the fact that Jesus was a real person in history. You might say, well, maybe he was just a good teacher. Well, Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection over and over and over again. So if Jesus did not die and if he was not resurrected from the dead, then that would just make him to be a liar, right? Because he predicted it and it actually happened. That's part of the element that gives me an element of understanding that it's truth. The other part is that he revealed himself to numerous people. Over 500 followers saw him as his resurrected form. He comforted mourners near the tomb. He walked to a nearby city with some of his followers. He ate with them. He touched them. He likely sang with them, laughed with them. He probably had a few good burps with them. This is part of their culture. Jesus was alive again. And 500 people saw it, and 500 people were questioned over and over and over again. You don't think that there were people trying to prove that this did not happen? It was probably the greatest effort ever in human history to try to prove that the resurrection didn't happen. But 500 people had a story that nobody could crack. And you cannot convince me that 500 people could get their act together. We probably close to 500 people worshiping in our services today. Not one of you is going to leave this place being able to tell anybody else exactly what I preached, right? It's impossible. It's only through the power of God that 500 people can collaborate their story, even in the first century. So that's an element, a huge element of truth for me. The followers that saw this and experienced this then turned into an unrelenting machine of faith and hope. It became contagious. And I'm sorry, that just wouldn't happen out of human ambition. Not for this long and not with this kind of authority. But by far the strongest element of truth to me is seeing the transformation of hundreds of millions of people over the years, the miracles that continue to take place, the deliverance of addictions, the restorations of life who were once without hope. They, for me, point to an undeniable truth that resurrection happened. And it happened in one life forever, right? And he has begun the process that we all will look forward to a moment of resurrection in our own lives because Jesus is alive, we have hope for eternity ourselves. So there is an incredible amount of authority, I think, in knowing that the story of resurrection is not some made-believe thing. It is not out of human ambition that we have made this story up. Resurrection is real. But here's what I tragically think today. For some of us here today who are real critical thinkers, that can really stretch our academic mind. But what I really fear for the church and for all of us today is that we don't make resurrection a very personal thing. We don't take the time to make resurrection something that we really hold on to every day of our life and make it a personal thing. You know, when something's personal to you, you're willing to fight for it. I mean, you'll get angry about it. You're gonna understand it more. You're gonna research it. You're gonna share it with passion. I mean, when something is really personal, something really near and dear to your heart, first thing you do is share it on Facebook, right? Right? I mean, we only share things on Facebook that, you know, are really personal, and we would love to put it out there. You know, this was the best example I came up with. I do not know Manny Torres. I don't know him. I may have met him a time or two. I've had some people that I know that are connected to him dearly, but I don't know Manny. The other day I was driving, and we were going to the high school. I think it was for Sutton's basketball banquet, and I passed Manny. He was in town, and I saw on his Twitter earlier in the day he was going to Chicago, so I almost stopped and made sure he was all set for his trip. Like, I knew this guy was going to Chicago, but he was leaving town, and it was definitely Manny. And I said in the car, that was Manny Torres. And Sutton's like, shut up. Really? Turn this car around. She's like, I actually look good. I want a picture with Manny. You know, it was this funny moment. I've never met Manny. I don't know Manny, but I'll tell you what, when Manny got on American Idol, and he was one of the top 12 or whatever, it was a personal thing. We rearranged our schedule. How many of you posted Instagram pictures and Facebook things of Manny? I know you did. Danette, I know you did. Every hour of the day, Danette's got a Manny crush like crazy. It was a personal... Sorry. I know you know Manny. I know. So here it is. It became a personal thing. We were telling friends, you know, out of state, you know, Manny Torres is from Flushing. He's on American Idol. It became a personal thing. My kids would, you know, they follow him more on Twitter. They'd tell me about his bowel movements. It was all out there, man. It was personal. Every step that kid made. I just went way too far. sometimes the filter's just a little damp, I think. The question that I'm bringing up is this. If I'm willing to go get Manny Torres shirts, right? My house has Manny Torres shirts. That's a personal thing. I'm wondering, is resurrection, is it personal? Is it something that you would rearrange your schedule for? Is it something that you would think about? Is it something that when you do think about it, it gets you excited? Is it something that propels you to want to share with others? Is it something that helps you understand that there's a world that needs to understand resurrection and embrace resurrection, and it's your job to post about it? It's your job just to let it come forth from you because it's personal, because it means something near and dear to you. And I'll be honest, when Manny got voted off, it was crushing. I still don't know him, but man, it's personal. Is the resurrection of Christ personal for you? Does it define you? Does it shape you? I want to be honest with you. Religion cannot shape you. Some of you have, and me included, raised in church. And there's a part of being raised in church where we try to think that the institution somehow will shape and form you. There is no pastor. There is no religion that will shape and form you. There's only the resurrected Lord who has that power and authority to shape and form you. And it's because there was a day that He died, and 3 days later He came from that grave, and that gave Him the power over the thing that has caused so much heartache in our lives. The power over sin in our lives. Is it personal for you? The people of God have always understood that death was a part of reconciliation. They would bring animals to the temple, and that animal would take on the sin of their family, and then it would be slaughtered as a form of restitution for their sins. It is not by accident that Jesus was crucified on the day that the Passover lambs were being slaughtered for their festival, for their Passover celebration. It is not an accident that this took place on the day, in the place, in the moment that it did, because Jesus' life was what was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. His death provides that for you and I. But today is not about death. Today is about life. Today is about the words that we understand that resurrection provides the power over the authority or the power and authority over sin. Paul again wrote these words in 1 Corinthians. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. Paul's talking about there's two different ways to live your life. You can align yourself with Adam, the first man, and the man who embraced sin so that we all have to struggle with sin. Or you can embrace with the Son of God, who is now providing a new way out for all of us. He writes again in Romans 6, now we know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for we died with Christ. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin, but now that He lives for the glory of God. So also, you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. How has resurrection impacted your life? How does the reality that Jesus conquered sin impact how you live? Does it change you? Paul often used that analogy of slavery, and he says we're going to be slaves, all of us are going to be slaves to something. We're all going to be chained to something, and we know that to be true. Some of you are slaves to your boss, right? Staff, don't answer that question. Some of you, you know, you are. There's a certain bondage you have. You're slave to your family. You're willingly to your family, to those you love. There's always something that's vying for your time and for your stuff. for your schedule. And when we are people who are bound to our own evil desires, we are bound to sin. We are enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to drunkenness. We're enslaved to seeking revenge, to sharing things about somebody that's not very kind. We're enslaved to perversions. We're enslaved to addictions. And all of these things provide a short-term high within an amazing amount of a nasty hangover the next day, right? And the guilt and the sadness and the brokenness that comes when we give in to our sinful desires. As a follower of Christ, though, it's different. As a follower of Jesus Christ, resurrection changes everything because it breaks the bondage of sin in your life. It tears apart the controlling nature that sin wants to have on you. The resurrection breaks the power of sin in your life. That's the fill in the blank. I want you to, if you're following along in your insert, you can fill that in. The resurrection breaks the power of sin in your life. It's a new life. It's a new nature. It's a new freedom. Sin's power is broken and our sin-desiring nature is buried. The old way of living is dead. Let God take control. The problem, the fear that I have for the church, the fear that I have for our community, is that we've come to an understanding that I can embrace faith in Jesus while I still allow the sinful desires to be shown in my life. And we give in to all of our sinful desires at the same time of trying to embrace faith in Christ. Those do not go together. Power of resurrection breaks the power of sin in your life. And I want all of us to embrace that today. I want all of us to know that we do not have to give in to the sinful, evil desires that often come. When we embrace this kind of freedom, when we embrace the resurrection, freedom will change how you embrace every adversity. And adversity will come. Challenges will come. It will change how you treat others who appear to be against you. I won't say enemies, but those who appear to be against you. This kind of freedom changes how you approach those people. It will change how you love your family and how you willingly serve them. It will change how you forgive those who have hurt you. It will change how you celebrate with those who have things that you kind of wish you had because you suddenly can step back and recognize the blessings of what you do have. It will also change your life's goals and ambitions and how hard you want to pursue them. Not because you're not going to pursue them, but it will just change the direction of your life ultimately. You will be a slave to the one you choose to obey. The question on this resurrection day is, who will you obey? Will you continue in a life that's filled with bondage of sin, or will you embrace the resurrection that wants to free you and break you out of that mold? Following Christ is a mystery. Following Christ will be filled with incredible resistance, but it is the path to victory. It is the path to hope. It is the path to eternal life. Pastor Steve and the band is going to come and they're going to sing a song we've already sang in our service. They're going to lead us in it one more time. It's such a powerful song. And as they come, I would like to read for you the words that Paul wrote from the book of Romans chapter 6. I was reading this chapter over and over this week, and I continually felt led just to let the Word of God penetrate in your heart. So what I'd like to do is invite you to stand with me at this time. And what I'd like you to do is just kind of embrace these words like this. Allow these words to come into your heart today as if Paul were writing them directly to you. Somehow, I just want you to envision you going to the mailbox and you getting a letter. And your name is on this letter, and on the envelope. And you open it up and you look and it says, "Dear," you, and it's got your name right there. And here are these words written by Paul directly to you. I want them to penetrate your heart, and I want you to embrace them today. He starts the letter off by saying, "Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." He goes on in his letter, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your body, your whole body, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is your master. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So then, since God's grace has set us free, does that mean we should go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves to sin, but now wholeheartedly you obey this teaching we have given you. And he concludes this letter to you with these words. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God, this day, God, as we embrace the reality that you came from the grave not to just to do something great, but to give us life and eternal life, I pray that those of us who are struggling with the bondage of sin would be broken free from it and that we would find victory in your resurrection. God, speak to us and share your love with us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll praise the name of the Lord our God. We'll praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing.
Today, that God has been revealed to you, question that lays on our hearts is, will we embrace this power that has been freely offered to you this day? In John chapter 11, Jesus is comforting sisters, Mary and Martha. They are grieving the loss of their dear brother and dear friend of Jesus, Lazarus. And it's in this moment that I believe Jesus wants to teach the people that were listening that day and teach you and I a powerful lesson. He says to them and he says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes will never die. There is great power. And I pray that the resurrection and the life in your life and in your experience will speak volumes to you today about the hope that He is here to offer. How He wants to break the bondage of sin in your life because He is alive. He is alive indeed. God bless you as you go. May your Easter be a wonderful celebration of family and those you love the most. Thank you for being a part of our day. God bless you all.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.